I'd like, if you will, turn to the book of Lamentations, chapter 2. You get Psalms and Proverbs, and go to the right of that a few books, and you'll find eventually Isaiah, then Jeremiah, then Lamentations. Chapter 2, my message is entitled, Cry Out for the Children. Cry Out for the Children. Father, I thank you with all my heart this morning for the presence of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for the love, the joy that is in this house. I thank you, God, for calling us as a church to this location from over 100 nations to gather us together for a specific purpose. Father, I pray, God, that you would allow me to speak this word that you've placed on my heart. And God Almighty, that you would give us a sense, Lord, of what you are desiring to do and how each of us can play a vital part in it. Give me the anointing I need to speak this, and give our hearts the anointing to hear it. Give us the will to do your will. Father, we thank you for this. God Almighty, praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Lamentations chapter 2, just one verse, verse 19. Prophet says, arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. I have no doubt that Jeremiah wrote these words with a broken heart. There's no doubt that he had seen this with his eyes. He had seen young people in the streets possessing no true or lasting inner strength, young people who were deprived access to that which would have given them a true and a lasting hope for the future. Jeremiah knew that godlessness had infiltrated the very fabric of his society. The people had lost sight of their spiritual inheritance, and choosing to live for themselves in the present had left the future once promised to them slip through their fingers. What a tragedy that must have been. How heartbreaking it must have been for this man of God. Because he understood the promise of God. He understood the desire of God, the will of God for the people who were the testimony of God in the earth at that time. It's a tragedy in every generation when we take the truth of God and we use it for the wrong purpose and we deal casually with it. And every man, every woman living for self forgets about that there's another generation coming after us. And we lose the burden of prayer. When people don't pray, when spiritual truth is not held as our most treasured possession, when the testimony of the Christian church is that we care more about ourselves than we do about others, then history teaches us that most often the next generation is lost. And it's a tragic thing, but in this country, we've had a theological focus largely, not everyone, thank God for that, but largely it's been about self. Coming to the house of God was about how I can better my career, get a nicer personality, get an advancement in society, et cetera, et cetera. And when the focus is on self, we lose the burden of God. When we lose the burden of God, we become almost like Hezekiah when he got a word from the Lord, said, your sons are going to be taken from you. They're going to be made eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. And this man who had once known the presence of God and the power of God, he once had prayed and knew that God could answer miraculously, made what I would consider an insane statement. He said, the word of the Lord is good. As long as this doesn't happen in my time, isn't this good? God help us that that never gets into our heart. God help us that all we're trying to do is ride out the storm that's ahead of us, not overly concerned about who's going to come after us. In the same chapter, Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 20, tells us that society can degenerate to the point where young people are simply used to satisfy the misguided cravings of others, and also can degenerate to the point where those who speak for God are fair game for the godless, even in the sanctuary of the Lord. Jeremiah cries out, he says, see, O Lord, and consider, to whom have you done this? Should the women eat their offspring, the children they have coddled? Should the priest and prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? He's calling out to God and says, oh, Lord God, look at what we have become. How children are just something to be used for convenience now. We've lost a sense of commitment. We're breaking down at every level of society. And priest and prophet that stand for truth are now fair game to a godless society. I've shared with you before, and I shared again with a broken heart, that in America, those who stand for truth are midway now between persecution and prosecution. The days are coming, folks, and they're not too far down the road. Last Wednesday, I was in my office working on something. Later in the evening, I stared out my window, and I couldn't help but wonder how close we've gotten to the time that broke Jeremiah's heart. I saw thousands of young people, mostly high school and college age, most of whom have been spiritually starved in our colleges, in our schools, raised to believe that there is no God. And not only raised to believe that there is no God, but the concept of God himself is mocked. Living in a society that's eradicating everything to do with the testimony of Christ, while the church at large has been on a Caribbean cruise somewhere, focused on self. And we've left these children to wander the streets searching for scraps of reality and meaning to guide them into the future. Now, I'm not here to comment on the rightness or the wrongness of their cause, so don't misunderstand me. Their cause may be just. I'm not talking about the cause this morning. I'm talking about our young people. I'm talking about something I saw, the hollowness in them, the vacancy, the lack of a true just society, which can only be found in God. Looking for meaning, looking for reality, trying to grasp an elusive just society that they will never find apart from Jesus Christ. Looking for meaning because we've deprived them of truth. And it was a scene like this that caused Jeremiah to cry out to whatever true spirituality was left among those who were known as the people of God. That's why Jeremiah said, arise, cry out in the night. At the beginning of the watches, pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. Every true prophet of God knows something of God's heart that we would be wise, you and I, to consider today. And it's the simple thought that the kingdom of God is defined by miracles and mercy. That is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about dead people living. The kingdom of God is about the powerless obtaining the merciful power of God. Kingdom of God is about freedom. The kingdom of God is about blinded eyes being given sight that can only come from the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is about a new song that God puts in the heart. And many see it and fear and begin to trust in the Lord. Kingdom of God is about freedom that can't come any other way but through the hand of the one who holds the keys to every prison, to everything that would hold us captive. Because when he rose from the grave, he took captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. The kingdom of God is about men and women becoming that which God has destined us to be. Things which are not within our natural grasp. Truths which our natural minds do not know, vision which our natural eyes cannot see, and freedom which any amount of natural effort cannot bring us into. The kingdom of God is about miracles and mercy. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, in the day when that temple of that time was dedicated, the scripture says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Oh, thank God. We live in a hopeless moment in the natural. We live in a day when lawlessness is abounding and will continue to increase in our streets. But I thank God for a knowledge that we would be wise to lay hold of one more time. I thank God for those who have a heart of faith. I thank God for those who believe that we can still come to the throne of God, not in our strength, but in our weakness. Not in our power and not with our strategies, but with a heart full of faith that says, "Oh God, I know you to be good, and I know that your mercy endures forever." And so I come to the throne of God with no more natural strength than Moses, with no record of faithfulness or even being desired any more than Esther. I come to the throne of God with all I am, and all I have is a heart of faith in knowing who he is, the one who went to a cross and shed his blood and said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." I come to the throne of God to find strength to help in time of need. I'm willing to throw away my plans and throw away my visions, throw away my dreams, throw away everything I think I am, and just simply come by invitation, because he has declared me to be righteous. And by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you and I are sons and daughters of Almighty God. We're invited to the throne of grace. When Solomon, it says in verse 11, finished the house of the Lord in the king's house, and Solomon successfully accomplished all that came into his heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house, then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, "I've heard your prayer, and I've chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Now, the Lord says, "My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer that is made in this place. For now I've chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually." Now I know that this was written to Israel. I understand that. But I also know that the scripture tells us, the Lord says, "I am the Lord, I change not." And in the New Testament, it tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so when I read this scripture, I see something of the character of God. I see the willingness of God to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Our nation is being devoured by the pestilence. Our nation is being devoured. Our families and our homes are being devoured by godlessness at an alarming rate. And it looks hopeless in the natural. It looks like we've lost the battle. I remind you, many, many years ago, there was a battle going on for the glory of the Lord in the earth. The devil has always come against the testimony of God and the testimony of God's people. And all the warriors stood on a mountainside, and all their armor and all their strategies and all their training seemed to render them powerless against this particular moment in time, until God found somebody with a heart that would believe him. And he walked into that camp. He walked into that battle, not with a sword, not with a shield, not with armor, not with a plan, not with a strategy, not with a budget, not with an entourage. He just had a donkey, some bread, and some cheese for his brothers. But he heard the threat of the power of darkness. And when he heard that threat, something got into his heart and said, he said, "Who is this godless Philistine that he stands and defies the living God and the armies of the living God?" Something has to get into your heart in this generation. Something has to get into my heart. There's no time for another superstar preacher to rise up. There's no time Thank God for Billy Graham. Thank God for those that have gone before us. But there's no time. Now it's for the weak and the foolish and the nobodies and the nothings to press into the throne of God. People like you and I to say, God, I have found something about your heart. I know something about you, Lord. And I'm coming to petition for the children of this generation. I'm petitioning for those who've been robbed, those who've been left blind, those who've been left wounded in our streets, those that are fainting and dying for hunger because we have denied them access to the living God in the blood of Jesus Christ. Every once in a while throughout history, someone rises up and says these words, not my children and not on my watch. No, sir, devil. No, sir. No, sir. Because I know the living God. Not my children, not on my watch. Moses didn't stand before Pharaoh's throne in strength. He stood in old age and in weakness. He had no sword. He had no army. He had a staff and he had confidence in God. But he stood before the most mighty emperor as it was at that time. And he said to him, I make no deals with you. We're all going. Our young are going, our old are going, our children are going, our goats are going, everything is going. Everything that belongs to the children of God is leaving with us. No, sir, not on my watch. Not on my watch. In Exodus chapter 1, the people of God were being afflicted and their children were being cast into the river. We're very much living in that kind of a generation today. People of God are being mocked, marginalized, called bigots, narrow, all kinds of names. What a tragedy. A nation founded in measure with a respect for the word of God. How we have slidden, how we have degenerated. It's tragic, really, what's happening in our time. And it's all happening because the people of God turned inward and the pulpits became silent. It's all happening because we allowed sin to prosper in our midst and it brought a weakness upon us. And we failed to stand up and challenge those who claimed to be speaking for God and they were not. And we allowed error to be propagated as truth and it brought a tremendous weakness into the testimony of Jesus Christ. But oh, I thank God. Remember the King David once said in one of the Psalms, shall the dust praise thee? But my answer to this is yes, oh God, yes. When we get to the point where we know that it's all miracles and mercy, it's all the grace of God, we have access to the throne of God. I delight to go into prayer. I don't have a plan. He's my only plan. The victory of Christ is my plan. The power of God is my plan. The mercy of God is my plan. I don't have any other plan when I go to the prayer meeting now. Only the faithfulness of God and the words of God, like he spoke through the Apostle Paul, that I believe that everything he's put into my hand, he's able to keep. I believe for my sons. I believe for my daughter. I believe for my nephews and nieces. I believe for my brothers and my sister. I believe for my grandchildren. Everything I put in the hand of God, he's able to keep it. The cry of my heart, lady, is, oh God, stretch my faith to go beyond just my own house and beyond my own family, beyond my own need. But, oh God, stretch my faith to believe for these young ones in our streets, these teenagers, the ones in their 20s that have been absolutely robbed of the truth of God, left to wander, hungry, searching for something of meaning that can make life worthwhile. In Exodus 1, the people were afflicted, the children being cast into the river. But in Exodus chapter 2, somebody rose up and defied the odds and placed a child in the hands of God. Somebody rises up in every generation. And this lady rose up and she defied everything that was against her in her house and cast a child upon the mercy of God, not knowing, not fully understanding that this child Moses would eventually deliver all his people out of bondage. We have a prayer meeting here in Times Square Church on Tuesday night, and it's now more important to the future of this city, maybe even this country, than I can even express to you. We're now online live, and people are participating from 140 nations. We even had a prayer request come in from Saudi Arabia last Tuesday night. Muslims are texting in, asking, what is it that we believe, and how can they too lay hold of it? God is beginning to heal in profound ways. And if you were here last Tuesday, you're beginning to see the praise reports are literally flooding in of how families are being restored. Children that have been alienated from their parents for years, years are coming and calling their moms and dads just the week after they submit a prayer request. The kingdom of God is still about miracles and mercy. Great deliverances have often begun throughout history with just one mother and one child. Just somebody. My heart sings with the thought that throughout scriptural history, when God wanted to do something profound, most often he looks for the person who's the least able to make it happen. He wants to bring a prophet to the nation. He looks for a barren womb. Wants to give a great, great promise to a man that he's going to have descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and through whom the whole world's going to be blessed, but waits until he can't do it in his own strength. If you and I could fully understand it, we're living at this kind of a moment in history. If we had the courage to humble ourselves and say, God, we've failed. There's no shame to admit failure, folks. Listen to me, those that are listening online and those who will hear this message in the future. It's no shame to admit failure. It's a shame not to. Amen. If we admit failure, the admission of failure is the beginning of the supernatural. When we let go and say we've failed, God begins to take over. Remember the prophet Daniel looking out the window towards Jerusalem because he remembered the words that I read to you from Chronicles. He remembered the heart and the eyes of God are open in that place. And he and many of his countrymen had been taken captive. And so he began to pray based on the truth he saw in the scriptures. He began to pray and suddenly God moves upon the heart of a Medo-Persian king to issue a decree allowing the people of God, even protecting them, to go home and to begin to rebuild the testimony of God that had once been established in the earth where the glory of God had once been. I want to tell you this morning that the handwriting has already been written. Jesus Christ has already conquered. The law of death has already been rewritten into a law of life. We already have all the permission that we need to go back and rebuild. The only thing God requires of you and I is a humility of heart and faith to believe that he will. Amen. And faith to believe that he'll take us in our nothingness, in our weakness. Most of us come to church gasping for spiritual air because of the struggles and trials we've had all week. I understand that. And I've heard it said that the church is a Holy Ghost hospital. Folks, I don't believe that for 5 seconds. The church is a boot camp. This is a place of war. We are soldiers for the kingdom of God. Yes, we need healing. And yes, we need God to be kind to us. But that can happen just in a moment of time. Then suddenly, he says, my son, my daughter, go down to the brook. And there's 5 stones in that brook that I've fashioned. It's taken thousands of years to fashion them. Pick them up and take your sling and go into the valley and begin to face the giants of this generation. And do it in faith and do it for the glory of God. You and I must cry out now. We're at a point in history where everything now depends on it. This, hear me in this. We've reached a point in history where everything depends on it. Everything. Everything from this day forward. I'll give you a surefire way to make sure that our cities are set on fire in the days ahead. I can tell you exactly how to be sure that's going to happen. Don't pray. Don't come to the throne of God. Don't cry out for this next generation and then shake your head and wring your hands in despair when our cities are on fire in America. When young people get tired of just demonstrating and they want to vent their anger because there's an emptiness inside, they've been denied something that can give life. The irony of it all is that if we hadn't denied our children, they would be on their knees in the streets. They would know where the true power of God really is. Jeremiah said, arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. In the last week of January, we're going to take 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, to fast, to meet here every night to pray. And we're going to cry out for this church and for this city. We're going to pray for other churches by name. We're going to believe God to send his Holy Spirit and cause us to pray again. I'm asking you as your pastor to commit to fasting and prayer with us on Tuesdays. We meet here in this sanctuary, usually about 5:30 in the afternoon till 7. We have a time preparing our hearts. We sing, we read scripture, we pray. Then at 7 o'clock, the curtain rises. And from 7 to 8:30, we're online live in up to 140 nations. I thank God for that with all my heart. We fast on Tuesday. We fast from Monday at midnight to Tuesday night after the prayer meeting. I'm asking you with all my heart to come out Tuesday night and fast and pray with us. Please hear my heart on this. The future of this city depends on it. There's more at stake here than you realize. Mordecai said to Esther, don't think that you'll be safe just because you stay home and try to protect yourself. Don't think you'll be safe. I believe that we have the power to push back the darkness that would want to plunge our cities into chaos. I believe we have the power to petition God for a season of mercy. The constant cry of my heart now, every time I pray, is, oh, Jesus, let everyone in New York City have an opportunity to hear about you and to know what you did for them. If they end up in hell, let it be because they made the choice to go there, not because they didn't know. God, have mercy on our children. God, have mercy on this next generation that have come back and are saying in our streets, we reject what you've given us. We reject what you've told us is truth. And we're searching for something that will satisfy, but they don't know what it is. I happen to believe that if the power of God came in full measure in our midst, there'd be no room to accommodate the young people who would want to come to the house of God. I'm hearing testimonies now from many places of young people who are starting Christian clubs in colleges, and they're being flooded with students with questions, wanting to know who God is. Is there really a God? What's his name? How do you get to know him? We will not let our children die a spiritual death. I will not let them go without a fight. And neither should you. The age of living for self in the house of God is over. Thank God. The time has come when you and I have to choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. We have to choose. Choose a God that lets us focus on ourselves, or will we serve a God who died for all people and represent him on the earth and believe that his resurrection life can be theirs as well as ours? I'm always encouraged by the last few verses of the Old Testament. I believe this particular scripture has a dual application. It applied to the first coming of Jesus, and many who study it believe, as I do, that it also applies to the period just prior to the second coming. That God will raise up a cry. He will raise it up from the least likely sources and people. Be a cry. Be grandmothers, be mothers, be fathers. It'd be pastors, be leaders with a heart for God. And that cry will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers. lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Young people are looking for direction. And if we have the courage to speak it to them, many of them will believe. They will turn. But first, you and I must be people of prayer. It's constantly in my heart to say, Jesus, Son of God, turn the hearts of this young generation back to those who are spiritual fathers and mothers. Turn them back, Almighty God. Almighty God, Almighty God. It isn't right that the godless have had reign over our children. It isn't right that Christ is mocked and anybody who follows him becomes a laughingstock in our colleges that are supposed to be places of intellectual discussion. They're only places of indoctrination and mockery in many cases. But I know if we will pray. Oh, I know it, like I know it, like I know it, like I know it. We're at a pivotal point now in history. If we will pray, if we will pray, if we will pray, if we will pray, and we're not bringing a plan to God, we're not bringing a litany of our faithfulness, there's no such a thing, just coming to him because he is good and his mercy endures forever. If we'll lift our voices with one voice and sing with one song, I do believe that we can have an awakening in this nation again. I believe it with all my heart. Beyond believing it, I actually see it. I see it, folks. I see it. I see it. I see it. We're on the edge of something incredible. I'm not trying to build a program. We're on the edge of something incredible in this nation. And it can be incredible in one way or the other. It can be incredibly dark or it can be incredibly glorious. Please. Please come out and pray. We have almost a full sanctuary as it is, but considering the hour we're living in, there should not be one empty seat here on Tuesday night. This house should be full, and people from around the world should be able to see that. Father, I thank you that you've enabled me to deliver your heart. God, help us to pray. God, help us to look away from ourselves and to fast. God, help us to believe for this next generation. God, be merciful to our children, Lord. Be merciful, God, to your church. Be merciful, Lord. Forgive us, God, for what we've done. Forgive us, Lord Jesus Christ, for so casually handling these great truths of your word. Forgive us for allowing charlatans to raise up and proclaim that they're speaking for God. Forgive us for the lack of prayer in your house. You yourself said, it is written, my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. I ask you, Lord, for a baptism of faith. Deeper, more profound than we've ever known in our lifetime. I've asked you, God, that our prayers may take on a measure of faith and urgency. God, I ask you, Lord, to overflow the boundaries of the sanctuary and flow in our streets. Oh, God Almighty. And let there be a sudden awareness in the hearts of young people and older people in our streets of God. Make them aware, Lord, you've done it in days gone by, and you are the same today as you have always been. You always respond to a cry. You always, Lord, move your hand when somebody somewhere rises up and said, I will not let this happen because I know who God is. Oh, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Give us the backbone of a warrior, the courage of an Esther, the fearlessness of a Moses. Give us the ability of a Gideon to follow your plan, no matter how out of reach it looks. Give us the power, oh God. Oh God, oh God, oh God. Oh God. We don't cry out just for ourselves, Lord. We cry out for every single mother in this city whose kids are on the street and she doesn't know how she's ever going to get them to follow a right course in life. We cry out for every family that's being broken apart. We cry out for your church. So many are captivated by the things of this world. We cry out, oh God. Oh Jesus, with all our heart, Lord, we cry out. Father, we thank you, Lord. I ask you, God, in Jesus' name, that the prayer meeting in this church be the most profound, powerful meeting of all time. I thank you for it, Lord, with all my heart. In your precious name. We're going to take a moment just to worship. And I want to give an altar call this morning here in the annex and also North Jersey. And for anybody who's listening at home online, at home you can just maybe go to your knees in your living room. But just people like me. You know, prayer wasn't always the strongest part of my Christian life. But by God's grace, I'm going to pray. By God's grace, I'm not going to let this generation die in their sin. When we still live in a season of mercy and miracles. And if you're with me on that, and the pastors of this church, the elders of this church, we fast together every Tuesday. We pray together every morning from 6 to 7, Monday to Friday. If you're willing to come out Tuesday night, and if you can't make it here physically, at least be online and fast with us and pray with us and believe for this generation. If in your heart you're willing to say, God, please take me out of self-focus and help me to pray with faith. Help me, God, to have the faith that you want to give me. Then I'm going to ask as we stand in a moment, you just slip out and make your way to the front of this auditorium between the screens in the annex in North Jersey. And then we're going to pray together just for a moment after that and ask God for a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Ask him for a gift of faith, hearts that can believe. I feel like that father sometime that cried out for his child, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. God, take me beyond the limitations of my own heart. This is not about me. This is about others. Help me to believe for them, oh God. Show me your heart and show me your mercy. If that's the cry of your heart today, let's all stand. Just come, please, and join with me at the front, and we'll pray together momentarily. Let's take a moment to worship, if we will.
Lord, we humble ourselves before you, God. We humble ourselves before you. Lord, we just heard your word that says, arise and cry out in the night. Lord, it is dark out there, oh God. You said, cry out for the children that faint with hunger at the end of every street, Lord. So today we lift our voices to you and we cry out, oh God, for the children. We cry out for this generation, Lord God. We ask, oh God, for mercy, Lord. You said, if my people who are called by my name, we heard it this morning, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you would hear from heaven. God, you would forgive our sins and you would heal our land. Would you forgive us as a church age, oh God, for losing sight of what's important, oh God? You said that we're to love you and love people. This is the law and the prophets summed up, oh God, in the two greatest commandments. Lord, we've been focused on ourselves, but we turn today. We turn to you, Lord. We turn to you and we turn to our children and we pray for your mercy, oh God. We pray for mercy, God. We humble ourselves before you. And we come to a God who is merciful, a God who is forgiving, a God who is kind, a God who calls to us. Who calls to us, oh God, to go out to meet the bridegroom, oh Lord, and to prepare for your coming. Lord, we ask for mercy on this generation. We come to you and we ask once again, would you fill us with your heart? Would you baptize us with your spirit? Would you give us your burden for the lost? Would you change our hearts, oh God? Lord, we lift up our voices because we know who you are, oh God. We know that you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are still the God who answers by fire. You're still the God of mercy. You're still the God who is able to turn the hearts of fathers back to their children and the hearts of children back to their fathers. We pray for our government. We pray for our government on every level, city government, federal government. God, we pray for the society that you would send revival, that you would bring a God awareness, that you would bring a God awakening. Would you visit our schools? Would you visit our campuses? Would you visit our communities, visit our street corners where young people are selling drugs because they don't know what to do, oh God, to survive? Would you visit the youth prisons? Send an awakening, oh God. Send revival to your church. Turn us back to you, Lord. God, do what only you can do and breathe on this society. Breathe on the dry bones, oh God, and bring life. We pray for the latter rain. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the promise of the Father. You said, go and wait and pray. And so we do that, oh God. And Lord, we're going to gather on Tuesday nights and we're going to believe you for the miraculous. We're going to believe you for souls. We're going to believe you for our family members, our co-workers, Lord, our unbelieving spouses, Lord, our children that are lost. We're going to claim them in the name of Jesus. And we're going to take back from the devil what he's stolen from us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to God Most High, who is worthy to be praised, who is worthy to be adored, who is worthy to be trusted. Lord, we're not surrendering one member of our family. We're not surrendering one coworker. We're not surrendering our neighbors. We're not surrendering this society without a fight, oh God. We believe you, God, and we bless you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Thank you for stirring our hearts. Let the word bring forth fruit 100-fold in our souls to the glory of your name. Father, we thank you and we honor you today. We thank you, oh God, Lord, that we have power, Lord, to push back the forces of darkness and prayer, oh God, to stay the hand of the enemy. God, we thank you that we can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, we honor you today, and we look forward to what you're going to do, oh God. Open our eyes to see, Lord, where you're moving, Lord, and we believe you for boldness to speak when we need to speak, Lord, to share your love, Lord, your kindness, your mercy with this generation. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what. In the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel, when they knew that God was with them and they're about to go into the battle, they let out a shout so profound, the scripture says the earth would shake. And in the New Testament, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. So I want you to give a shout of victory to the Lord like you've never given.